some place you've never been.
What? Yeah, I suppose that's true.
Have you been crying?
Yeah, see, this woman is a manicure.
Oh, no, it doesn't matter why. That's a very nice jacket.
Oh, thanks.
Very soft. Huge button flaps, cargo pockets, drawstring waist, deep bi-swing vents in the back, perfect for jumping into a gondola.
How do you know all that?
That's my coat.
You mean...
Yes. I'm Jay Peterman.
That was hilarious. Hilarious. And that fabulous voice, that very knowing, authoritative, assured voice is none other than our next guest, John O'Hurley, who is coming to the Ridgefield Playhouse on Sunday, January 26th for his show, A Man with Standards. John O'Hurley has a fantastic background. It's so versatile and wonderful, from singing and dancing and acting to great hosting of not only Family Feud and other game shows as well for many seasons. But let's talk about the dog show. Let's talk about the dog show. John O'Hurley, welcome back to the Lisa Wexler Show. So nice to chat with you. Hi.
Well, nice to be with you again, Lisa. Thank you very much for that wonderful introduction.
Oh, sure. So much fun. You know, it's really fun to read about your life and career. So I got to ask you, John, first of all, let's talk about your Connecticut roots. We're here on WICC. You went to high school in Connecticut.
I'm from Kingswood there in West Hartford, where I grew up for more than 20 years.
Wow. Do you ever come back here other than to perform? Do you have any affiliations with your home state?
All the time. I'm back there all the time. I still keep a lot of friends. I stay close to Kingswood, actually, and have helped them in many situations, fundraising-wise. And I've done several concerts back in the area with the West Hartford Symphony, the Hartford Symphony, and I enjoy it. I love coming back. It's my heart still has a soft spot.
I have so many things to ask you, but when you decided to become in the world of entertainment, did you say to yourself, I want to be a, quote, actor, singer, dancer, or did you say, if I'm going to be in the world of entertainment, I have to learn and do it all?
Well, yes, but I'll take you back for, in my case, I go back to 3 years old when people would say, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I would point to the black and white television in the corner of the room there in West Hartford, and I would say, well, I am an actor, so that's what I'm going to be. And
it's that
I knew I was an actor. It's not that I wanted to be an actor. I knew I was an actor. And every time I watched television, I knew that I was supposed to be there.
That's pretty extraordinary. Is it in your family, in your genes?
Not at all. Not at all. My dad was on the surgical staff there at St. Francis Hospital, and my mother was a nurse, and that's how they met. No, I had absolutely no ties to entertainment at all. It just it came from within.
And that voice, it's a great voice.
Well, thank you. I was lucky enough to grow up around the great DJs in the Connecticut area, Dick Robinson and those people. So I had great mentors just by listening to them on the radio.
So, John O'Hurley, if you always knew that you were an actor, how did you decide to shape your career? What kind of training did you decide you needed? Or, you know, how did you decide to move your career forward?
Well, it actually took me quite a while. My degree is in acting from Providence College, and my minor is in voice. But I got scared to death of the business of acting. And so for about 6 years, right out of college, I took a sidestep, and I went. I was director of PR at Waterbury Hospital. I was director of PR for the American National Red Cross in Farmington, Connecticut, for a while. Also worked at in the early years. Worked out there at Pratt & Whitney in the marketing department and doing advertising for them. So I had a career that was growing in the quite quickly in the PR and marketing area. But I decided to jump ship 1981 and got my first show 48 hours after I arrived in New York.
You did. And why do you think you did? And how did you decide to audition? And just tell us about that, because it seems
it was the scariest time of my life. I went to New York with $800 and two suitcases. And I had absolutely no connections at all to the business, just a deep desire in my heart. And I knew that I was doing what I was supposed to be doing with my life. And I was just lucky enough to walk up a fire escape the wrong way to meet a friend of mine for lunch one day, and they had just coincidentally fired the second lead of the play that they were rehearsing. And lo and behold, by the end of lunch, I had my first show in New York, and I never looked back.
That's amazing.
Isn't that? It's so peculiar. So when people ask me, How do you get a break in the business? I will say, and I suggested them. I say, try walking up the wrong way in a staircase.
That's incredible. You got the first role, and then after that, you had a CV, and you were able to keep going.
It's just everything layered over. But I have to say that it was probably my experience in advertising, PR, and marketing that probably helped me more, because I learned that it's not show business; it's business show. You got to take care of the business first, and the show is a privilege.
And so we're chatting with John O'Hurley. And so, what advice do you have for people about the business of show?
Well, the business of show has changed. It's no longer three networks. It's no longer three networks in Broadway. It's a multiplicity of networks and entertainment possibilities. And now cameras are in the hands of everybody. Everybody can become a producer, a director, an actor. It doesn't. So it's all about creating content. So I would say become your own creator of content right now, and market your content rather than waiting for somebody to come and hire you.
But it's harder in a way, right? In other words, it's easier because theoretically you can make a connection with your audience without waiting for someone else. But you also have to be very versatile. You got to be able to do it all.
You have to be very creative in terms of the marketing of it, because you have to find different ways to make a living now. It's it's no longer, as I say, it's no longer the three networks and Broadway. It's a lot different. You have to be very creative in the way that you position yourself.
John O'Hurley, did you invent the character of Jay Peterman?
I did.
Yeah.
They handed me the catalog, the infamous Jay Peterman catalog, and they said, we want this character on the show, and we don't really know. We just want you to make him sound as though the way the catalog is written, as
so
though
great.
This stuff is just tripping off of his tongue. And so in reading the catalog, which I thought was one of the most unusual pieces of literature I'd ever read, if you go to jpeterman.com, you'll see the catalog that we parodied on the show. But I said to myself, it sounds a little like a 40s radio drama combined with a bit of a bad Charles Perrault. And so that was kind of that began this kind of slow descending spiral into the lunacy of the character. By the time he traveled off to Burma there to find himself, he was kind of a corporate Mr. Magoo at that point.
It was hilarious, though.
Well, I had a lot of fun. Nobody had more fun on that show than I did. And the writers just had so much fun writing the character because they got a chance to write these long, gracious monologues. And it was just a lot of fun.
And Elaine, the beautiful Julia Louis-Dreyfus. Oh, my goodness. How great was it to play with her? How great.
Yeah, wonderful. I mean, truly one of the great comedians in the business. You'd have to go back to Lucille Ball to find somebody that was that talented and that forceful a comic actor. I mean, no matter what it was, she would get on with the ship and she'd get the laugh no matter what it was or how unattractive she had to present herself. She always, the famous Elaine dance.
Yes.
It didn't matter. She was going to get the laugh. And,
yes.
She's an extraordinary, she was actually just an extraordinary talent and one of the most gracious people to work with as well.
She seems that way. When I saw the Mark Twain Award, one of the great television programs recently, and everybody was going up to give her the award and talking about her, she just seems like a class act from start to finish, John.
That's perfectly put. She's exactly that. And I would say that about the rest of the cast, too. They were the four smartest people I've ever worked with in the entertainment business. Bar none. And I would say right after we finished the table read of the script, they could have got up and just walked over to that set and shot it right there. We didn't need a week of rehearsal. They were that good.
We're chatting with John O'Hurley, the original Jay Peterman. And speaking of the Elaine dance, let's talk about you and your suave dancing. You were, you talk about the inauguration. Dancing with the Stars has been going strong for what? What are they in there, like 20-something season already?
Well, they do two a year,
they do two a year.
They're in their 25th year or something, 26th.
Something crazy like
26th season.
But you were the first one.
I was in the first. Yes, that was quite a it was quite a year. It was a lot different show back then because really it was all about the dancing at that time. Not about. It's more of a popularity contest right now, and you know, we had to cover the entire dance floor back then, which was 100 by 75. So, you know, you couldn't, you were so winded, you couldn't even talk after you finished your dancing. But, you know, the show is much more, it's changed much more now. But it's still a great piece of entertainment. It's the type of reality television that I support because it's about people trying to become better. And they're not trying to become the story, they're trying to tell a story, which is unlike most reality shows.
We're chatting with John O'Hurley. How did you become such a great ballroom dancer?
Well, I have to say I had a great coach.
But, I mean, you learned it during that season? You weren't a dancer before
yes.
then?
Oh, no, I never did anything. I was always the guy with the glass of Chardonnay at a wedding reception that would stand on the back wall, and when the music and the dancing started, I would tip my glass and say, knock yourselves out.
No Shiners. Way.
Not me. Not me. No, it was I barely danced at my own wedding. No, I didn't know anything about it, and I had a wonderful Charlotta Jorgensen, who was my coach at the time, and my partner. You know, she was the number one ballroom dancer in the world, so she could do anything, and she also could teach so well. And if you want the hint to the success, is that we stopped calling everything by its formal name. Every dance move has a formal name. You know, there's a plié, there's a tendu, there's all these. I forgot all of those, and I created my own language. And that's how I learned, by just creating my own language. In my head, I knew exactly what it was, and I wasn't trying to learn someone else's language in addition to the move.
It's very hard to remember all the steps.
Oh, it's terribly difficult, terribly difficult. And you'd only have a week to do it. It's a little, Dancing with the Stars is a little bit like if I was to drop a violin in your lap and say, could you possibly have a concerto
right.
for the entire country to listen to next Tuesday night?
Exactly. That's why I'm just yeah. stunned. I assumed that you came to it being a pretty accomplished dancer, and then this just upped your game.
No, I started from absolute zero. Absolute zero.
That's
I lost
incredible.
25 pounds and gained a lot of confidence.
Oh, my. And do you still like to dance?
Oh, I still do. Well, I still have my my show on Broadway, Chicago, the musical. I just finished my 2000th performance
oh.
with Billy Flynn there. Over the last 12 years, I've been there. I'll probably go back this summer for a stint. I always keep that in my repertoire because I love that show so much.
Are you the Jerry Orbach role?
Longest running.
Are you the...
Exactly.
Yeah.
Longest running show in American music theater history. So it's getting close to its 25th year now.
Unbelievable. We're chatting with John O'Hurley, such a multi-talented man who's coming to the Ridgefield Playhouse on January 26th for his own show. Listen, I think I could talk to you forever, John, but I got to ask you about Family Feud because
mm-hmm.
I would like to know... How did you become a game show host? And how would you, if somebody wanted to become, you know what? It would be on my bucket list. I would love to host Password, for example. I would have such a good time. How
well,
do you become a game show host?
You would be a very good host. I think a host has a certain quality. They have to have a maternal or paternal quality, either male or female. But you have to have that kind of feel that you can drive and control, and you have to have your mind at least accessible enough so that you can process information very quickly. So if somebody says something silly, you can perhaps, you know, toss in a joke. But at all costs, you keep the game moving because people are there to watch the game, and they're not there to watch you be funny.
Right.
So it's a little bit away, you know, it's trying to keep everybody comfortable, and a little bit like saying, I'm hosting a cocktail party, please come to my home.
Mm-hmm. And did you enjoy?
And it has that kind of feel to
it.
I have to say that I had great parents growing up in West Hartford, Connecticut, and yes, they had cocktail parties, and as children, we were always involved in hosting the guests.
Oh, yeah.
And I have to say, I probably learned a lot of my game show hosting from those moments.
It's wonderful. Right now, would you like to go back into the game of game show hosting? Is there any particular game that you'd like to be hosting on TV?
Well, I have a new one coming out on HGTV, which is a fun network there and has always been something, a guilty pleasure of mine. But the game show is going to be called Buy Like a Billionaire, and three homes you're going to be looking at, and it's a family of a couple of average means that are now going into these billionaire homes. And they're trying to figure out which one of those a multimillionaire or billionaire just bought.
Oh.
And based on their what they know or what they can decipher from this person's character. And if they're right, the show will pay off their mortgage for a year. So it's a pretty nice
That's fun. And this is going to be on HGTV?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we love HGTV. That's a great. Yeah. Oh, we love HGTV. Watch
that
it.
Should be a fun format as well, because I love real estate. I love architecture.
Yeah.
And this is a combination of both.
I love House Hunters International.
Mm-hmm.
I do.
Mm-hmm.
In the wee small hours of the morning once in a while, we're chatting with John O'Hurley. Yeah. I'll see what it might be like to live in Rotterdam or something. I mean,
I always love it when the couple is going to Borneo and they have $400 a month to spend.
Right. I mean, it's crazy, right? And they have no family. They're like out of a pod. I'm like, well, what happened to your roots or your branches or your job?
That's right.
It's wild.
Yeah, we chose the place where we're going to be sharing a shower.
Exactly.
Exactly.
We're chatting with John O'Hurley. John, you're going to be back in our neighborhood on Sunday, January 26th. The show is called A Man with Standards. I'm so delighted that you came on.
It's going to be fun. It's the story. These are the stories of my life. Growing up in the 50s and 60s, of course, in the Connecticut area. So it's home-based, but it was all about just growing up in that period of the music of the great American songbook, Mancini and Sinatra, Moon River, all of these wonderful stylings of music that we call the great American songbook. And I use those songs to underscore the very funny and poignant stories of my life growing up. And, you know, a lot of them are just homespun stories from growing up in Connecticut. Some are from my years on Broadway, and some are the crazy nights that go as far as 2:30 in the morning, sitting in Frank Sinatra's living room and doing the stupidest thing I have ever done in my career, singing Sinatra to Sinatra.
Did you?
Yes.
Wow. Was it a thrill to meet him, though? Was it a thrill?
That is the great mistake you'll ever make in your life.
Oh. Well, I'm delighted.
One of the funnier stories of the show. It's a lot of fun. It's great music. It's great storytelling. And only one tear.
Only one tear. Okay. That's wonderful. I'll try and make it myself. I'll come backstage and
I'd
say
love
hello.
To have you John, please do.
Thank you. John O'Hurley on the Lisa Wexler Show. Stay tuned right after this. We have some trivia questions about John's life and some tickets to give away to the show. So stay tuned. John, thank you so much for being with us today.
A joy to talk to you.
Thank you very much. The Lisa Wexler Show on WICC 600. We'll be right back.